to turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6. We'll read verses 8 through verse 13. Book of Leviticus, chapter 6. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, that is the priesthood, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, his linen breeches, upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. This passage, of course, describes the law of the burnt offering. We read of it in chapter 1 as well. It's given by the Lord to Moses, the people of God, how Moses was to instruct Aaron and his sons. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, the offerings foreshadowed the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It was never intended by God for the offerings to put away a single sin. The purpose of the offerings was to point to the one who could put away sins. We read in Hebrews 10 and verse 4, For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So it wasn't God's intention to have the offerings purge sin, but the purpose of the offerings was to point to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, if we turn over to Leviticus chapter 1, we see the burnt offering is described, and it's really the portrayal of the cross of Christ and how Jesus Christ gave himself in death is a picture of complete surrender of himself. It is unreserved devotion to God the Father. We see in verse 3 of chapter 1 that the offering must be without blemish, which of course is a pictorial of the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see that the offering was to be offered upon the altar which was near the door of the tabernacle. We also read that in chapter 1 and verse 3, which is a pictorial of the fact that outside of the blood, there is no access into the presence of God. So the altar was right there, right by the door. We see, thirdly, the offering was substitutionary. We see in verse 4, He shall put His hand upon the head of the burnt offering. We see, fifthly, that the offering was killed in the presence of the Lord, there in chapter 1 and verse 5. Then we see there was a presentation. It was a presentation of the blood. The blood was sprinkled. We read in chapter 1 and verse 5, it was sprinkled round about upon the altar. So no matter from what angle you would look upon this altar, you would see the blood. Everywhere you looked, you would see the blood. We see also that the sacrifice in verses 6 through verse 8 was laid in order on the wood. There was a specific order that everything was to be done. In other words, everything about the cross was according to the details ordained of God. Nothing was left to the schemes of man. Nothing was left to the will of man. It was all ordained by God. And the burnt offering pictures this. But we want to, if we go back to chapter 6, want to take the thought, the message from what is written in verse 9. The latter part of that verse says, "And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it." Verse 12, "And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out." Verse 13, "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." So we see the priests, and we today are, we the saved, are the priesthood. But the priest, it was their responsibility. It was the responsibility of Aaron. It was the responsibility of Aaron's sons to keep the fire burning. It was their responsibility to make sure that that fire was not quenched. And that is what we want to speak about this evening. We want to speak about maintaining the flame. Same idea as the message of this morning. We see, we want to consider, first of all, what all of this meant to the Israelites. And then we want to make some application to ourselves. But first of all, what did this perpetual flame mean to an Old Testament Jew? Well, when an Old Testament Jew came to the tabernacle, the first thing they saw, the very first thing they saw, was that altar. The altar of burnt offering. They would see the fire. They would see the smoke. They would see the ashes. They would see the blood. And immediately they were reminded of the awfulness and of the filthiness and the vileness of their sins, of their transgressions, of their rebellions against God. So as they looked upon that altar, they would be reminded of their depravity. They would be reminded of how corrupt they were. And then when that animal was cut into pieces and the blood was sprinkled upon the altar and the animal consumed, it was a declaration that sin was not a minor thing with God. Sin is never a minor thing with God. All you have to do to see what God thinks about sin, any sin, is to go to the cross, look at what transpired upon the cross, consider what Jesus went through upon the cross, consider the wrath of God being poured out upon Jesus Christ, who was made sin for us, who was being treated as our sin deserved to be treated. And when you consider the cross, you get some idea of what God thinks about sin. You get the idea that sin is not a minor thing with God. It must be offensive to God anytime a child of God says, regarding sin, it doesn't matter or no big deal. How offensive, how repulsive. That attitude must be to God and to Jesus Christ. So the first thing that the Old Testament Jew would see would be this altar, reminding them of their depravity. In keeping the fire burning, God would continually remind them of what their sins deserved. That innocent animal was brought to the altar. That animal was killed. It was cut in pieces, its blood was sprinkled about, and eventually it was consumed. And that is what we deserve. That is what our sins deserve. And they were to keep that fire burning, to be a continual reminder of everybody who would enter that tabernacle that they were sinners and what their sins deserve. The truth is, you and I cannot really, truly worship God until we realize how corrupt and how depraved we were. Because it's then that we can appreciate the mercy and the grace and the long-suffering of God. And then in response, we worship the Lord. In keeping the fire burning, God was reminding the Old Testament Jew of the love and mercy of God that would provide a sacrifice for them. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Well, Jesus did more than that. He laid down his life not for his friends. He laid down his life for his enemies. And that a holy, righteous God would give himself, would take upon himself the filthy and vile sins of his enemies, speaks of the love of God. And that perpetual flame was a reminder to every Old Testament Jew of God's love. It was a reminder of God's mercy as they would go into the place of worship. Also, in keeping the fires burning, God was reminding them that it was through the sacrifice of the innocent, that their sins were forgiven. And that through the sacrifice of the innocent, that they had access to God. And so it is today. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that the vilest sinner on earth can be made white as snow. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that the hell-deserving sinner can find forgiveness for his or her sins. So God would have them always mindful of his grace, always mindful of his mercy, always mindful of the atoning power, the sin-absolving power that was in that blood. He would always have them remember that. And again, it's something that I'm afraid many of God's people have forgotten. As we come into the house of God, we need to always be reminded of our depravity, what we deserve, and we need to be reminded of the grace and mercy of God, and we need to be reminded that the only reason that we have access to a holy God, into the presence of a holy God, is because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That will prepare you to worship, and this was the first thing they saw. Was this fire upon the altar. It was also would be a reminder. They were to keep the fires burning to remind the people that they were bought with a price. That innocent, in the Old Testament, that innocent animal was sacrificed in their stead, sacrificed in their place. As a reminder that Jesus Christ would buy them with a price. And you and I need to realize that our life is not our own. And we do not have a right. We do not have a right to squander any part of it because it's all been bought. It's all been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not our own. We've been bought. We have a tendency to forget that we're not our own. We have a tendency to forget that we have been bought. We have a tendency to forget that we are not our own master. So to remind the Jew, this fire would be perpetual. Since we're not our own master, we have no right. We have no right to seek our own will. We have no right to seek our own ends. We are to seek his will. We are to seek his ends. But many have forgotten that they have been bought with a price. So when this Jew would see the altar, it did something to him. It did something inside of him. And when he saw that fire, and he saw the smoke, and he saw the ashes, and he saw the blood, it served as a daily reminder. A daily reminder that should humble their heart. And we need to be reminded of these things so that we will have humility of heart. It was something that would cause them to have thanksgiving. It was something that would fill them with joy. It was something that would fill them with praise. And certainly it was something that would give them a desire and a zeal for God. Again, if we remember these things, if we remember how depraved we are, and remember what we deserve as depraved sinners, and then remember how the grace and mercy of God intervenes on our behalf, and remember that Jesus Christ Himself shed His blood for us, that He died in our place, that we have been bought with a price, that prepares us to worship. But so many times people come into the house of God, they have no thought whatsoever of the grace and mercy of God. They have no thought of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And then they attempt to worship. And what ends up happening is they just go through the motions of worship. And worship becomes empty. So how do we apply all of this? We see how it applied to the Old Testament Jew. But we want to notice, first of all, that keeping the flame burning was the responsibility. Was the responsibility, and it was the challenge. And it was a challenge. It was a challenge for those Old Testament priests to keep that fire burning day and night. It was to burn. It was their responsibility. It was their challenge. And though you and I, as God's people, though you and I, as saved individuals, are far, far, far removed from ceremonial law, there is a sense in which we too have the responsibility and the challenge to keep the fire burning. To always keep that fire burning. To always maintain the flame. Now notice in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. Leviticus 9, verse 24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord. In other words, the Lord sent the fire. And consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. They gave praise, and they were humbled. But my point here is that the fire came out from before the Lord. In other words, He kindled. He kindled the fire. And then it was the challenge and the responsibility of the Old Testament priest. It was the responsibility of the priesthood to keep that fire that was kindled by God, to keep it burning. When you and I were saved, the very moment we were saved, our heart is like that altar. And God kindled the fire. It was kindled by the grace of God. It was kindled by the mercy of God. But God kindled the fire in our hearts. And we have the responsibility. We have the challenge to maintain that fire. To keep that fire burning. No matter what it cost us. No matter what else is going on, none of that matters. What matters is we have to keep the fire burning. And many, the fire has gone out. The fire went out a long time ago. And it hasn't burned in a long time. When the Lord saved our souls, He kindled a fire within us. And I believe this is true of all people that the Lord has saved. There was immediately a fire kindled in us. We had a desire to please God in all things. We did not want to do anything that would displease the Lord, that would bring displeasure, that would bring reproach upon the Lord. God kindled a fire, and we had a desire to please Him. He also kindled a fire, and we had a desire to be in the center of God's will, doing exactly what God was telling us to do. We didn't want to do anything less than what God was telling us to do. And we never wanted to be found outside of the center of God's will. That was a fire. That was a fire that God kindled. There was a burning desire to know God. To know God more fully. The day the Lord saved us, we knew very, 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 very little about God. We knew very, very little about Jesus Christ. We still know very little. But the difference was, when the Lord first saved us, though we knew little, we wanted to know more. We wanted to know more. But today, many of God's people are content. They have been content for years what they know of God. But isn't there more to be known? Certainly there is. And that is always true. And it should always be our desire to know Him more, to know Him better, to know Him more fully. That fire burned within us to just know God, to be closer to Him. We wanted to be as close to God as we could possibly be. There was a burning desire to be close to God. We have the responsibility to keep that fire burning. And if that fire has gone out, it's no one's fault but our own. It's because we, if that fire has gone out, or if that fire is just smoldering, it's because we have neglected the fire. It is because we have neglected the means to keep the fire burning. It's our fault. It's no one else's fault. It's not the fault of circumstances. It's no one's fault. It's only our fault. It's our responsibility. It's our challenge to keep the flames burning. There was a desire. There was a burning desire to make God known to others, to tell others of God. But in the lives of many, that fire went out a long, long time ago. For many, they haven't told anyone about God for years. It's been a long time since they've talked to their neighbor. It's been a long time since they talked to a family member. It's been a long time since they talked to a stranger and just told them about the Lord. That fire has gone out. We had a desire, a burning desire to be surrendered to Him. A desire to be filled with the ways of God. A desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. There was a desire to be used of God. We didn't dictate to God how God would use us. We just wanted to be used. But after a person is saved a while, they begin to dictate to God how God should use them, what they're willing to do. But when we were first saved, we just wanted to be used. We didn't care how. We didn't care how God used us. We just wanted Him to use us. And it's our responsibility to keep that fire burning. As we said this morning, there was a passion, there was a fervor, there was an enthusiasm, there was an eagerness, there was a zeal, there was a fervency within us. Has that gone out? And if it has, most people say, well, if you were married to the woman I'm married to, you're fired, go out too. Or if you were married to the man I'm married to, your fire would have gone out too. It's not their fault. You have the responsibility. You have the responsibility to keep the fire burning, to keep it going. The Old Testament priest, it didn't matter. If they let that fire go out, there was no good reason. It was their responsibility to keep that fire, to keep it burning, to maintain the fire. It was a fire. When we were first saved, God kindled a fire within us that consumed everything else. We had other things going on in our life, but the Lord consumed everything else. And yet today, just about everything consumes one's desire for the Lord and one's service for the Lord. The fire that God kindled was of a purifying and a purging nature. It was of a melting and softening nature. And yet today many have hardened their hearts. Their hearts are no longer softened by the preaching of God's word. Their hearts are no longer melted. And you can blame it on a lot of things. But the truth is, we've let the fire go out. That's the truth. It's our responsibility. It was a fire that gave light. It was a fire that warmed us, and it was a fire of a reviving nature. So I ask you tonight, is the fire still burning? Remember the day when you were baptized in the Lord's church. Oh, the desire to serve the Lord in that church. It was a burning desire. It was a fire that God kindled. And it's our responsibility to keep that fire going. You say, oh, but you don't understand. A lot of things have happened since the day I was baptized. A lot of things happened in the church. A lot of things have happened at home. A lot of things have happened in my life. None of that matters. None of it really matters. It's your responsibility to keep the fire burning. No matter what happened in your life, no matter what happened in the church, it's your responsibility to maintain the flame. There was a burning desire to be in the services whenever the church doors were opened. There was a burning desire to be a blessing to the church in whatever way that you could. And yet today it's been turned around. People want to be blessed by the church rather than being a blessing to the church. And people get their feelings hurt because the church hasn't blessed me. But you see, the fire that God kindled in our hearts when we were saved and when we were baptized in one of the Lord's churches was, I'm going to be a blessing to this church. That was the fire that was kindled. And that's the fire that you and I have a responsibility to keep burning. In those days, if something needed to be done, we just hoped that we could be the one to do it. And now, if something needs to be done, many people hope that somebody else will do it. The fire has gone out. The fire is just smoldering. Again, there was a passion, there was a fervor, there was an enthusiasm, an eagerness, a zeal, and a fervency for the Lord's house, to be in God's house. There was God kindled a fire within us to hear the word of God preached, and we found ourselves sitting on the edge of the pew desiring to catch every word. We didn't want to miss anything. But for many, that fire has gone out a long time ago. Now they pass notes. Now they whisper and pay very, very little attention to the preaching of God's word. Again, are the fires still burning? Are they burning brightly? What is the condition? What is the condition of your flame? And you think about that altar. That altar represents devotion. And that fire is to always be burning. That fire of devotion. That altar represents faith. And that fire is to always be burning. That altar represents worship. And there is to be a perpetual flame. There is to be a perpetual flame concerning our devotion, our faith, and our worship. That flame, that fire is never, ever, ever to go out. It's never to be quenched. And it's our responsibility. Now, here in the book of Leviticus chapter 6, maintaining the flame, there in verse 9, verse 12, and verse 13, was a priority. That was a priority. And if it did not remain a priority, the fire would go out. That was the priority. Keep the flame going. How did they keep it going? Well, they had to care for it. They had to feed it. And that had to be the priest's priority. To care for this flame. To feed this flame. As you read there in Leviticus 6, you see that every day, old ashes had to be cleared away. New fuel had to be added. And only as that was done would the fire keep burning. In other words, the flame had to be tended to. It would not perpetually burn by neglecting it. If you neglected the flame, eventually it would die. It would go out. So this must be a priority. Tend to the flame. In every trial that comes your way, tend to the flame in that trial. Everything that happens in your life, tend to the flame in your life. Keep the fire burning. No matter how many people try to quench the fire, you keep it burning. You tend to the flame. You never, ever neglect the flame. That has to be a priority. We see also that they had to have a desire to keep the fires burning. Those priests had to want to keep the fires burning. And we have to have a desire to keep the fires burning. Never can we afford to have the attitude, oh, what's the use? We have to have a desire to keep the fires burning. There had to be diligence in keeping the fires burning. There had to be effort to keep the fires burning. There had to be the use of means to keep the fire burning. God has given us means to keep the fire burning. The Word of God, church, prayer, and on we could go. These are means. We have to use the means. You can't neglect God's word. You can't neglect God's house, neglect God's people, and keep the fire burning. My feelings got hurt, so I stay away from church. I'm having a hard time, so I stay away from church. I'm having a hard time, so I'm not going to read God's word. Don't you see? Those are the things that will cause the fire to die and will increase your trials. It would require some time
to keep the fires burning. If you want to keep the fire burning that God has kindled, you have to invest some time. You have to invest some time every single day toward your own spiritual health, toward your own spiritual well-being. Do you do that? Do you invest some time every single day to keep the fires burning? And some days, you have to invest more time than other days. Every day you have to invest some time. But some days, you almost have to spend all day just tending to the flame. The fire is being threatened. And you have to spend a lot of time tending to the flame. It would require a certain amount of self-denial to keep the fires burning. Perhaps there was something else the priest would rather do. But if the fire was to go out, he had to deny. If the fire was about to go out, he had to deny himself those other things and tend to the flame. And to keep the fires burning is going to require some self-denial. It also required guarding the flame. Guarding against anything that would quench and smother the flame. There are so many things that seek to quench and smother the flame that God kindled in us the day he saved us. Our nature, our old fallen, depraved nature that dwells within us, that we carry around with us everywhere we go, is always seeking to smother that flame. We have to guard. We have to guard against getting in the flesh. In times of trial, in times of difficulty, in times of persecution, in times when someone has done you wrong, you have to resist every way that you possibly can of getting in the flesh. Because I'm telling you, that'll smother the flame. That'll quench the flame. We have to guard against circumstances. There are a lot of circumstances that can come our way that threaten to smother the flame. The winds of circumstances blow from all directions. There's the winds of difficulties, the winds of afflictions, the winds of persecutions, the winds of sufferings and temptations. And we all know that wind can put the fire out, but wind can also cause the fire to spread. It all depends on your attitude. It all depends upon your spirit when you're going through these things. Is it going to put the fire out? Or is it going to cause the fire to spread? So we always have to guard against bad attitudes. And we all get them. We get bad attitudes toward our circumstances. We get bad attitudes toward other people. We get bad attitudes about just about anything. And as soon, the very moment we feel a bad attitude coming upon us, we need to guard against that. Because I'm telling you, it's going to smother the flame. It's going to quench the flame. And it's our responsibility to keep the fires burning. There are people that come in our lives, people perhaps that we have to deal with on a daily basis, and they're always trying to stomp out the fire. But you can't allow it. And if it happens, you've allowed it. You've allowed it. You've done something to allow it to happen. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to guard against those people. And if I know a certain person is just... is constantly smothering the flame that God has kindled, it's best for me, as much as possible, to avoid that person. They are not for my benefit. They are not for my well-being. So we have to tend to the flame. And that's my whole point. No matter what is going on in our life, whether it be circumstances, whether it be our own sinful nature, whether it be people, whatever, it is our responsibility to tend to the flame. It's our responsibility to keep the fires burning. So I ask you tonight, are the fires still burning? What is the condition? What is the condition of your fire? Are you still bringing wood to the fire? Or are you expecting the fire just to magically burn? We have to bring wood. We have to bring wood to the fire. And many times we do the very things that quench the fire. You get mad at somebody, so you stay home from church. And it's amazing. These people will say, well, there's no use for me going. I couldn't worship God in the spirit I'm in. Well, you certainly didn't worship at home. What you need to do is you need to come and get right so that you can worship. So how are the fires? We cannot neglect the flame. God kindled a fire in our hearts. And just as we read there in the book of Leviticus chapter 9 verse 24, the fire came from God and consumed the sacrifice. We read in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And when we do that, the fire is kindled. God kindles the fire. The way, if your fire has gone out, there's only one way to get it rekindled. And that is to submit, present yourself a living sacrifice unto God, which involves repentance and everything that goes along with that. So again, it's our responsibility tonight. It's our responsibility to keep the fires burning. What is the condition? What is the condition of your fire? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse.